Well, without any further ado, you do know these people already, or at least most of you do. So I'm going to call, do I call Lynn up first, or do I call Dwight up first? Or yeah, sure. Then you can shorten your message if you need to, Dwight. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. Bless you.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Can't hear myself. Yeah?
It should be.
The green light's on.
They just gotta find you.
Okay.
There you go.
I heard it now. Good to be back with you. 2016, eh? And then COVID happened, and that was 100 years ago. So it's been really hard trying to figure out our pace ever since then. But it's wonderful to be back in Manning. We see you have snow. Edmonton doesn't have snow. So it's very pretty. I said to a gentleman this morning, it's beautiful and white and it's warm still. So it's okay. Like I said, really good to be with you all. It really does feel like it's been forever. Last time, I believe, we stayed with the Scammahorns. We figured it was 12 years ago or 11 years ago or something like that. Anyway, time flies. I just want to just mention that we have a table set up at the back, so please stop by there. There's a whole bunch of paperwork. We have a unique Christmas gift brochure, and we do this promotion every year. It's got a few simple things because we represent both the Brazil and the Mozambique mission fields. So if you want to give toward a gift, any size, that's an opportunity for giving toward different programs, needs, and children. And in Mozambique, we even do distribution of gifts to kids in poor communities, and it's a very exciting event. We have child sponsorship brochures. So if you have a moment, stop by the table. Help yourself. Take one of each. There's these little cards. A documentary was done. A construction team came out to us last year in April. And there's a QR code on the back. And it is also on the back of this, which is an overall view of the mission. So actually, if you take any brochure, this is probably the one that's going to give you a good overview of everything. And there's a QR code on the back here as well to the documentary. It was a construction team, very well put together documentary. So if you really want to kind of step into life in Mozambique, this is a really good way to do it. He did a great job. So please help yourself to some of those items. And then, of course, we have our our cards and a fridge magnet. We have family joke about fridge magnets because we've all our lives been missionaries as a couple and always had fridge magnets. And we took a family photo, was it just after his mom's celebration of life service, and my whole family was down. So we took a big family picture and the son-in-law goes, oh yeah, that would be a great fridge magnet. I'm like, okay, John, yeah. 12 people, it's a bit much. Anyway, I wanted to just, share. I hope this won't take too long. I just wanted to share something with you that I thought might be interesting so that you can kind of get an idea of, you know, where we work. Have you ever thought of, if you were in a Mozambican church, what kind of things you might hear coming from, you know, the pulpit or the speaker? Or have you ever wondered if you were there in a very poor country, what you might say to people? It can be quite challenging because, as you can imagine, there's a huge cultural difference, economical difference. Their daily lives are different. So we were in, just this last August, we did a literacy outreach in the Zambezi River Valley. So that's north of where we are in the country. The Zambezi River leads to Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, right? Okay. My geography isn't always right on. But so the Zambezi River is full of crocodiles and hippos, and we kind of camp right by the edge of the river, and that's the water we use to bathe in. And if you don't think too much, it's not too bad. But if you start thinking that hippos live in this and I'm bathing with it, it's not so great. So because of the location, and because Mozambique is a fairly poor country, malnutrition is prevalent, illiteracy is prevalent. I would say probably 55% is a pretty safe, higher. In the cities, it's not so bad. Rural, it's really bad. And illiteracy is a big problem because you end up with a vicious cycle where you've got illiteracy. If people can't read, and if you can envision a circle, and at the top, so I tell them this when I'm teaching. Actually, I start off like this. I say, it's said that teaching a mother to read is more effective than putting a doctor in a poor community, because a mother who can read will be proactive in her family's health care. Doctors usually, not always, but often they are called when illness is already there. A mother can be proactive. So then I talk about the cycle of poverty and present it to them. And I draw, I have my diagrams, I put pictures up. And there are four points in the cycle of poverty. And as you know, a cycle is a repeating cycle that you have to intervene at some point to make it stop. At the top, I put illiteracy because that's the focus of one of the things that I do is promote literacy. And we have materials that we use to teach reading to women and children and men. Illiteracy is at the top. Without people being able to read, you have lost opportunity, lost job opportunity. Lost job opportunity leads to poverty. Poverty leads to malnutrition. Lack of money to buy food. Malnutrition leads to more illiteracy. So it's a repeating cycle. So malnutrition is another big part of the teaching that we do there, because you don't see it as much in Canada, but we see a lot of malnutrition there. It's the typical, as you can imagine, the skinny arms, the big belly. If they have kind of red hair at the sides, and then you get the severe malnutrition. So I go over that with them, and we talk about how to address malnutrition, how to prevent malnutrition. Malnutrition can, of course, lead to poor brain development. And then I have a scan, a CT scan of a normal baby's brain size and of severely malnourished child's brain size. And it actually is physically smaller. And that is has a permanent effect on a child. We talk about the first 1,000 days of a child's life is the golden period. Starts with conception until about the age of 2. The brain develops 85% of its total capacity within that amount of time. And so those are that's a key point in time for good nutrition. So we talk about the diet. I then turn their attention to the human brain. And we talk about something, well, we talk about the fit brain, the strong brain, and the weak brain. So the malnourished brain, you can have the well-nourished brain, but you also have to exercise a brain like a muscle, just like for our bodies. And we talk about the brain for a bit, and we talk about what I call, or what is called neuroplasticity. If you haven't heard about it, it's the brain's ability to change and adapt. And I just give them a few little examples, like when you practice an activity or access a memory, nerve cells create electrochemical pathways and shape themselves according to that activity or memory. When you stop practicing new things, your brain will kind of get rid of that pathway. So I give them the example, if you want to learn something new, it's like if you wanted to cross a field and no one's ever crossed it before, it's not going to be easy. And you're going to have to really put a lot of effort into it. But the more you do it, you're going to form a new pathway. The brain is the same way. If there is a habit that maybe you do and you don't want to do anymore, you have to kind of help your brain to erase that. And that's just by backing off and not engaging in that habit or those memories or whatever anymore. So there's actually a lot there. And I find it all quite exciting. Making mistakes is not bad. The brain learns by working. And so the challenge to them is, because a lot of them think that they can't read because they just can't, you know, it's just not, they're not capable. So my challenge to them is your brain is capable, but it will take work. So you have to commit and you have to practice. And even though it's hard, if you practice it, your brain can learn these new skills. And then we have them do a little exercise. I say, do you want to have a strong brain or a weak brain? Of course, they'll want to have a strong brain. So I go, okay, well, do you want to do a little activity with me? just to get them off their seats, because the seminars go for about 5 hours. So I get everybody to stand, and I wonder if I should do the same with you today. Do you want to have a little brain exercise? I'll get you. Okay, well, stand up with me. Do you want the easy one or the hard one? You need to come in, because I'm holding this, so you're going to have to come in. Well, I can do the hard one if you can do the easy one. No. Try the easy one first.
Okay.
Okay, so you're supposed to put one hand on your head and pat. I'm going to pat the top of your head, okay? And then the other hand on your tummy. Yeah.
But
the same time. Yeah.
Keep patting.
Don't rub your head and don't pat your tummy. Okay. Now,
that's pretty good.
Now, with the hands in place, now you rub the top of your head and pat your tummy.
Okay, rub now. I'm going to mess my hair up.
Well, you can do it above your head. You don't have to mess up your hair. And then you change your hands, right? Now, this is the easy one. Okay. Now, do you want to hold the mic?
Yeah, sure.
She knows where my strengths and weaknesses are.
Well, this isn't my strength either. This is the hard one. This is really hard. When I saw it on YouTube, I thought, well, I can't even do that. So, but anyway, so with this, your right hand, make a circle. All right? Oh, it's easy. Now, with your left hand, make a triangle. At the same time. Yeah. And then when you get proficient at that, you're supposed to switch and be able to switch back and forth. Okay. Thank you. You can be seated. Thanks for being good sports about that. That's called a brain workout. It's really good for your brain, you know. Got to keep it sharp. Don't want to lose that thing. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're told, God's word teaches us that we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, raise it against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive. You know, my mom-in-law used to say, God is very practical. And it's true. There is a lot in our faith and in the spiritual realm that is, you know, spiritual, but there's an awful lot that rests on us just in practical sense. And anyway, so when we apply ourselves to learning, we can be vessels of change in our communities and families. And that's my closing challenge to them, is if they apply themselves and, you know, understanding that you can make your mind stronger and you can learn new things, you can be a blessing to your fellow man and a witness for Christ. Okay, so we're going to the video now. All right, we have a video about our leadership training program. So if it's ready to go there. Okay, thank you.
Southeast Africa. And it's my privilege this morning to have a few of our staff. Well-equipped, courageous, and effective leaders of character, people perpetuate in repeating cycles of slavery to ignorance, to illiteracy, to poverty, and to spiritual darkness. But there's hope. The Apostle Paul's challenge in 2 Timothy 2:2 remains relevant to us today. Pass on what you have heard from me, he says, to reliable leaders who are able to teach others. This is our mission through our SBF training program, and the transformation that we're seeing is incredible. Hundreds of leaders have graduated from our program and are making a profound difference. In the coming weeks and months, they're going to be sharing some of their stories with you. SBF is the leadership training program of SAM Ministries, and it provides essential mentorship, training, and resources that really have proven to empower leaders and impact their communities, and to create a brighter and more sustainable future. Currently, we're training more than 1,700 leaders through a program that takes 6.5 years to complete. This does take some time, but during this time, these leaders are applying what they're learning, effectively leading, building a solid foundation on Christ and His Word, planting churches, and most importantly, they're becoming competent to disciple and train others. What is more is that we're providing this training in a way that enables the leaders to remain in their communities, care for their families, and provide the leadership their people so desperately need. Today, I invite you to learn about our training program through the website, where you can watch videos and hear firsthand accounts of lives that are impacted through our program. Secondly, we're welcoming you to sponsor a leader for a year at only $30. We're also asking you to please keep these leaders in your prayers. Finally, you can track our progress toward the goal of getting 1,700 leaders sponsored for a year and watch for updates along the way. It's important to share that SAND Ministries is expanding its network here at Mozambique, and it's reaching extremely remote and in some cases almost inaccessible communities. These communities face daunting challenges due to scarce resources and a lack of essential strategic support. The leaders who are reaching out to us are highly dedicated men and women, and they're motivated to bring the change that's needed in their communities. They're ready to go for it, but due to a lack of resources, they keep hitting serious roadblocks. The SBF program helps resource them, both through training, but also through a network of support that allows their efforts to flourish. The Christian leaders here in Mozambique invite you to stand in solidarity with them and work together to bring hope and healing to their communities. So help us fund a scholarship, and by doing so, help these dear men and women build a better future. Right now, in our world that is being torn apart in so many ways, we can so clearly see the need for godly, capable leadership. Leadership that is so critical to build, but also sustain lasting peace. Mozambique went through 26 years of civil war, and peace is never a guarantee. So let's build lives and plant truth now so that His kingdom can come and His will is done. God bless you, and thank you for your time and your support.
They're starting to use them. Now. Well, I can hear myself too. Just a quick mention of the website. We are using a lot of social media these days to try to reach out, simply because it is so difficult to get to all of our supporting churches. As we noted, how long has it been? 2016, since we were here last. During COVID, we came back a number of times, but just simply were not allowed to travel. So we just could not connect with people, and we know that out of sight is out of mind often. And so we really want to maintain that connection with you people who give and pray. And so we just want to thank you for your faithfulness over many years of support. In prayer, we know, as well as giving. So, just want you to know that that just because we haven't been here physically hasn't been because we haven't wanted to be. I just want to shout out to Bob here and thank him again for making his plane available for us to fly up together. We had a great flight. Lynn was able to stay and be with my dad for a medical appointment, a doctor's appointment at 12 o'clock, and we were still able to get in the plane and fly here and get here yesterday evening, so it was great. So really are grateful for that. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, so it is really, really awesome to be with you again. This last year, that maybe many of you don't know, we weren't even supposed to be here right now, but my mom just passed away, and so we had to suddenly change our plans and come back. So we're here, and that's why we have this privilege of being able to be with you. I'm going to share a little bit of a message with you, a little challenge with you now. You have a great pastor. You can hear lots of good sermons online or anywhere else as well. Just a few things I just felt like the Lord laid on my heart to leave with you that I trust will be helpful. And the passage I'm just going to share, I don't know if it's going to be up there, and if it's not, that's okay, is Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. The story occurs in two places where Jesus speaks these words. And I'm going to get back to telling you a little more of what's going on toward the end of this. But I just want to leave this with you first. In Matthew 7 and like I said, Luke 6, Matthew 7, verse 24, for time's sake, we'll read that passage. It also occurs in Luke 6, 46 to 49. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and let me just quickly jump back to what my dear wife was saying. When you can't read God's word, when you're illiterate, it not only makes you lose opportunities for work, but it makes you lose the opportunity to make an impact for the kingdom as well. It makes you malnourished as well because you can't feed yourself spiritually. So God's word, guys, and we're going to touch on that a little bit later as well, is so fundamental. Our ability, we take it for granted that we can read. I don't think there would be one person in this room that would say, I can't read. And you do the same thing in our part of the world, and 80%, 90% of the people will lift their hands. Or put it this way, we wouldn't ask it that way because we wouldn't want to shame them. But we say, who can read? And it's a fraction of the people who could read. So as we read God's word, just process that. The privilege that we have to be able to absorb God's word and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you can take that now and apply it to my life. Jesus said these words, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, how do we hear them? Normally it's we're reading them, right? Hear these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the, you guys can all say this, you know the scripture back and forth, right? It had its foundations on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against that house, yet it did not fall. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Powerful words, guys. I want to leave a couple thoughts with you. First thing I want to say is that, as Lynn also intimated, these past few years have been been challenging to say the least. Besides dealing with the COVID fallout and the actual sickness, I'm sure some of you had people who got very sick, some who probably lost their lives. We had friends, and I got extremely ill. But besides the actual sickness itself was the terrible, and we witnessed it just by coming back and forth and by being in communication with pastors, was the tearing apart, the division that the COVID virus caused. It was almost as bad, or if not worse, than the virus itself. How many of you know that when you go through bad stuff, who do you need? Lord. You need people. You do need the Lord, absolutely, but you need one another. You need each other. You need your family. You need your friends. You need your church family to stick together. And it's just that thing that the enemy was able to attack and tear people apart. And as a result, in fact, we have churches that were supporting us that closed their doors. How many of you know that we're commanded in Scripture to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace so long as there's no COVID? Is that what it says? Okay, I'll get off that. I'm going down the rabbit trail already. But we saw this terrible fallout from COVID, and in Mozambique as well. Not only that, in Mozambique we went through the challenge of two cyclones, one right before COVID, two of the most powerful cyclones that hit Mozambique, Idai that hit in 2019, then 2023 this year. Earlier this year, we then had the next cyclone hit that was absolutely devastating, killing lots of lives. One of our leaders, elderly parents were ripped out of their home by the floodwaters, and they only found their bodies a couple days later. So really terribly devastating things that happened during this time. So this year, our theme with our national, our leadership training program, besides the normal coursework that the pastors go through, we normally try to identify a theme for a year and really focus and go in depth biblically on that theme. And so we chose the theme, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And I'm telling you guys, it's something that has been so relevant. And it's so relevant again as we see our world tearing itself apart. Last year it was the Ukraine war. This year it's Israel. We live in a country that's very peaceful, except for when we fight with each other. How many? there's a great book if you get a chance to read. It's called The Comfort Crises. What he says is as soon as everything's too comfortable for us, we try to find something that's uncomfortable, and we try to make a problem where there isn't one. We take little things and we make them into big things just because it's too easy. And sometimes that happens to us. But the fact is that walking with God through pain and suffering is a challenging subject. And I'm only touching on a few ideas this morning. But it's been so relevant in our part of the world, where besides the toll on lives, it's caused incredible economic stress. We've seen our fuel prices. I know you've seen increase in fuel prices, but we've seen fuel prices of 64% in Mozambique. So we're paying like over right around $2 a liter. I know you're paying quite high up here, but $2 a liter for fuel, where we were paying like $1.20 before, you know. And so that has caused an impact on every single other thing in the country. So there are a few simple points I want to leave with you this morning, and you're going to have to try to tie these together because my time doesn't allow me to tie them together as well as I'd like. I want to talk briefly about the danger of legalism, because we're just talked about some words that Jesus spoke. And in then I want to talk about the promise of storms, and then I want to talk about building a life that stands firm in the midst of storms and what our world so desperately needs. It's going to be very short. The danger of legalism. So there are many things that Jesus taught us to obey. How many of you know that? In fact, your pastor read right at the beginning, the discipleship that we're called is, in Matthew 28, is to make disciples by teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Isn't that what he says, right? And so here, again, Jesus doesn't say just hear my words, but he says put them into practice, obey them, right? And so sometimes I think there's a challenge we have. Maybe you guys don't have it, but I think that it's a general challenge we have in our church, and that is, and especially for younger people. Now, there aren't a lot of younger people here. They're more middle-aged and older people. But it's good for us to be aware, younger people, when it comes to the church and faith, struggle with legalism because they always feel, and this is how I felt, I can't measure up to God's standards. I can't do all that stuff God wants me to do, so I'm not going to bother trying. And sometimes that's the message the world around us gets. We don't mean to say it, but it's because, and there's something I learned recently, and I think probably most of you know this stuff, but I'm kind of behind, so I learn it later. But it's because we as human beings, we learn about transactional relationships. That's generally how we look at things. In other words, if I do this for you, then you'll do this for me. That's called a transactional relationship. If I go to the shop, I give you 10 bucks, you give me a cup of coffee. Maybe it's not quite that much, but almost, eh? So that kind of transactional relationship is what is in our hearts and minds. And so when we come to God, it's kind of like it's the same thing. It's God, I'll do this. If I can do enough for God, then he'll do something for me. And that really is, that's just solid wrong, guys. The relationship that God calls us into is a covenant relationship, not a transactional relationship. It's not a relationship where God says, I'll love you if you love me. It's one where he already loves us. He already gave his life for the world. He already has this unconditional, unlimited love for you and I as his kids, as his creation, as the world out there. Even if they're lost, even if they don't yet know him, he still loves them. He didn't say, if you accept me, I'll die on the cross. He didn't say that. He went to the cross. And he wants people to know that his unconditional love is there for them. Jonathan Edwards preached an awesome message. He called it, Heaven is a World of Love. If you ever get a chance to either read the book or even, I don't have time to go down that rabbit hole this morning. But guys, if we could only grasp the unconditional love of God for us, when we start to read these passages, we need to understand that first. We need to understand that the first words of Jesus that we must put into practice if we're going to build our house on a rock, if we hope to put any of the other words into practice, is to believe. It's all we're called to do, to just believe. Jesus said, so that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that what he says in John 3:16? Jesus then repeated in John chapter 6, verse 29, the work of God is this. What is the work of God? Who can respond? To believe. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's the very first work that you and I need to do, is simply believe. Simply believe that God loves us, that he invites us into, first of all, he invites us into relationship, but then he invites us into partnership. Amen? To partner him with him in making a difference in our world. You know, Jesus said, on this rock, remember when he was talking to Peter after Peter's confession of Christ, on this rock I will build my church, and some have said, posited that it was Peter that he was talking about. But let me just tell you this, you guys know the life of Peter. There's no church that could have been built on Peter's life. He was as useless as any one of us. But Christ in him, first of all, the confession of him, Christ as Lord, is what Jesus was referring to. But Christ in Peter, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you and I is what God builds the church on. And you and I just need to have that fundamental conviction in our hearts that the first thing we need to do is believe. And I'm telling you guys, when the storms of life come, that's the first thing that we're challenged with. What do I believe? Can I hold on to what I believe? Is my house, is my life built on the solid rock of Christ? Or is it built on a bunch of theories? Legalism has two dangers. The first danger is to keep people out. The second danger is to result in a bunch of us in a religious coma. None of you, of course. a mode of Christianity that means we do the same thing regularly. We go to church. But it's not an active relationship. Saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? How is it that you want me to impact my world? God doesn't want us in a static relationship. He wants us in a growing relationship. And I know that's hard. As we get older, it's much easier just to do what we've always done. But God calls us. He still's calling us, even at our ages, to not just hear what He says, but do what He says. And His Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us as to how to apply His Word in new and interesting ways. And I'm going to get to a story at the end that's going to sound really weird and out there, because it's going to actually challenge you. It challenged me when I heard it, and I went, God, was that you actually did this? But God works. You see, we always think God's only going to do the same thing. Guys, He doesn't. What He wants to do in your life in the days to come is not what you've experienced in the past. We're going into new realms, into new times, and we need to be aware of what it is that God may want to do, okay, in our lives and through our lives. The second thing I want to talk about is the promise of storms quickly, because my time's already running away here. And I specifically called this point the promise of storms in my notes. If we would have put it on there, it would have been in parentheses, the promise. But Jesus, in this passage of Scripture that we just read, promised storms. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, I fully appreciate and rest in the amazing and wonderful promises that God has made to His people. All of us should. There are so many of them. When I say to our local people, when I promise something, you can't be really sure that it's going to happen, because although I don't mean to lie to you, the problem I have is that I'm a human being, and sometimes the things I say and then the follow-through is just not there, right? And it's not because I don't want to, it's because sometimes I just can't. I don't have the ability to do it. But that's not God's problem. He doesn't have that problem. When He promises something, when He speaks, He is. Amen? When He speaks, He is. He does what He says, and He always has. I love what Scripture says in Joshua 21:45, where Joshua says, not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one of those was fulfilled. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Hallelujah. So, alongside, and this is the thing I think I struggle sometimes with Christianity or Christians and myself, is we tend to pick the verses we like, and we leave the other ones out, don't we? So, along with all these wonderful, good and wonderful promises, suddenly we come along this promise that Jesus, and maybe you can call it a prediction that Jesus made rather than a promise, but they're very close, right? And what is that prediction or that promise? And that is that if you stick around for very long at all, you are going to encounter storms. Jesus in this passage doesn't say if the storm of life comes. He says when the storm comes. You guys are young. You haven't run into maybe a lot of storms. Maybe you have. When the storm comes. In fact, it's a given. It's a given in the story. The storms of life are going to come. The storms of life are going to come. When a flood comes, he says. The rains came, the waters rose, the wind blew and beat on that house. And if you're a believer anywhere on the planet and think that Jesus promises you a life of smooth sailing, boy, are you in trouble. And in Mozambique, for the leaders who are leading their communities, who go through, in fact, Mozambique is one of the most prone countries for cyclones and tropical storms. The cycle of drought and natural disasters that they face on a constant basis. Now, if you're pastoring in North America and you never have any problems, it's easy to tell your people, oh, everything's good, you know, because you serve God, praise God, you're just going to experience blessings, you're never going to have a storm. But trust me, for these pastors, they have to somehow help their people understand that, you know, even in the middle of the storm, God hasn't changed. Can you say amen to that? We have to somehow, guys, get our minds around and our hearts around the fact that when our lives or when the it's not hard to live faith and believe and walk right when everything's going smooth. It's when, in colloquial language, the stuff hits the fan, that suddenly we find out who we really are. When we're facing the death of a loved one, when we're facing the loss of a child. I'm guessing that there are some of you that are going through personal tragedies. It's at those moments in time that we're challenged about what we truly believe. I'll put it this way. Many times we are, as Christians, like Job and his buddies. Right? When everything goes wrong, all we do is sit around and start arguing about why it went wrong and whose fault it is. Does that happen, Pastor Corey? It doesn't happen in Manny. It happens in other places, not in Manny. But that's often what happens. But as Job found out at the end of the whole story, I love Job 42, verse 2. Because at the end of all of that calamity, after he and his buddies were arguing and trying to figure it out, he has an encounter with Sovereign God, who tells him how lost he is and how limited his understanding of things are. And he says, finally, Job says to God, I know, God, that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. In the midst of all of the difficult stuff that comes your way, whatever storm you are facing now or whatever storm you will face in the days to come, God's purposes cannot be thwarted in your life. Isn't that exciting? It's in those moments that God wants to use us. And this is my last point. I want us to know that we have to start working or continue to work on building a life that provides a refuge even in storms, and then in those times points the way. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about building lives that, in fact, the way he puts it, the one is a house, or to be more clear, a life that could not be shaken, he says in Luke. And in Matthew it says one that did not fall. The second outcome, because he paints two scenarios. The second outcome is a house or a life that fell with a great crash or collapsed and its destruction was complete. So my question to you this morning is very simple. What kind of life do you want to be? Do you want to be a life that stands strong when stuff happens? Do you want to be the person that others can look to for encouragement and comfort and strength when everything else is going bad? And the second question, probably even as important, is what other kind of people do you want around you? Do you want people that are strong, or do you want people that are falling down? I think we all have the same answer to that. Who do you want in government? Let me ask you that. No, seriously. Someone who doesn't destroy that world. Yeah, well, that's right. You want someone who has their house built on the rock. You want someone who has not only got their faith in the right place, because faith not only plants us in Christ, but it also helps us to see the kind of future that God desires for the human race. And that is something that you and I need to be empowered by. That God has such incredible things that he wants to do in lives. You can't look at what the reality is right now here in this church or the reality is in this community. You have to say, God, what is it that you would like there to be here? What is it that you would like my life to be like? We have to be able to project a little bit into the future, and the potential of the future is what helps us to take responsibility today for the things that will make the future different. That's why these girls are studying. You're not just studying because you want to get a degree. You're studying because you're putting in the effort today because tomorrow you're going to make a difference. Isn't that right? But that's the same in our lives spiritually. If we're not building our lives, if we're not now, once we know that we're accepted, we're loved of the Father, Jesus says, now is the time to start building. Building into your life the concepts. In other words, have an understanding of me. I love the passage, I think it's Philippians, where Paul prays for the believers. And he prays for them. He says, I pray, Father, that you'll fill them with the understanding of your will according to all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. In other words, God wants us to know His will. And if you look at the verses just before this passage, it's kind of challenging, guys. And this is where I'm going to get to our story, and we'll conclude with that. The story just before this passage is where Jesus says, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord. You remember that passage? Kind of a challenging passage, isn't it? Didn't I pray for people and heal them? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do all these things? And he'll say, words none of us want to hear, depart from me. I want you, when you go home, I don't have the time to delve into this, I want when you go home to take that passage of Scripture in Matthew and compare it to 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do a home study. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 compared to that passage. I want to see what the Holy Spirit says to you. Because God's will is for you and I, in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, to be the kind of people that are so strong, we can demonstrate His love. We can show His unconditional love regardless of what's happening around us. And I'm telling you, people, in Matthew 24, many people are talking about the end times, you know, with Israel going to war and all the rest. You know what it says? Because of the increase of evil in the world, what's going to grow cold? The love of most, it says, Jesus said, will grow cold. You and I have to be the kind of people that are so grounded in His love and so able to express His love to others that will not change regardless of what's happening. And that's the exact time when it does change, because we suddenly start to become self-concerned. We turn inward. In our part of the world, when there's a cyclone, you know what happens? As soon as aid comes into the situation, we have people who turn on everyone else and they start hoarding the aid for themselves, or they start selling it, or whatever the case may be, because they're human beings. And I'm no different if I'm not careful. And that's why it's so awesome that we can be a part of building lives. And my encouragement to you is that you should build your life. First of all, ensure your faith is on the rock. And secondly, build your life, build your faith by making sure you're taking time in the Word. And when you're taking time in the Word, say, God, what is it you're speaking to me about? What is it that you're doing here? You know, what is it you're doing that maybe I'm not getting? Help me. I'm going to tell you a story as I conclude this morning. Just looking at the time here, and I just have a message from Mozambique, and I won't pay attention to it. Sorry. The world's a crazy place these days, isn't it? We're super encouraged as we witness lives being built in Mozambique, and I just want you guys to know that you're a part of that. You may not see it. You may not see it until you get to heaven, which I'm guessing will be the case for most of us. We may never see the impact of our lives here on the planet, but I'm telling you right now, your involvement with us, when you give, when you pray, and if you choose to come, and we need people, so, you know, it makes a difference. I got to tell you the life about the life of one of the leaders that graduated from our training program. As we mentioned, we have this leadership training program. We also have a school with over 800 kids that we're responsible for, both the orphans as well as children in school. We're going up to grade 9 this year, so we're building a couple more classrooms. So there's huge challenges there. But those who go through the leadership training program are making an incredible difference. I want to tell you about, and like I said earlier, this is an African story, so it'll take you out of your comfort zone just a little bit. But it shows how uniquely God calls and uses people in powerful ways. The first time I met Pastor Pereira, I don't know if we have the pictures, but if we don't, that's okay. Pastor Pereira, a thin, unassuming man, was at the base of Mount Gorongosa, where we had a seminar, in a place called Vunduzi, which used to be the base of the militia that was against the government. In fact, that community suffered a lot due to that, but we were able to establish a training school there, and we were holding a seminar, and we got there. It was a Thursday morning we got there. Now, midweek, and the only time we can do midweek seminars is because mostly in the rural areas where people don't have to go get a job, they work in the fields or they take care of their animals, so they're able to participate. And we got to Vunduzi very early on the morning on a Thursday. Now it's a long drive from the mission, but we stayed in Gorongosa, the town, and we got there very early on a Thursday. And the church was full of people singing and praying, and I thought, well, this is unusual. You know, we're supposed to be starting a seminar here in a few minutes, but you know, are these people all here? So I saw many of the pastors sitting around outside, and so I asked them. I said, well, what's going on? They said, well, oh, they're just having a prayer time. They're still having a prayer time. I said, well. Okay, and so what's that about? They said, well, this is Pastor Pereira's church. I said, well, yeah, I've heard about Pastor Pereira. And they said, well, yeah, well, he's this church is always full of people. I said, you mean every day? They said, yeah, every day. But don't worry, they'll be coming out just now, and they'll give us space so that we can hold our seminar. And so I thought that was rather interesting. So I said, well, why are the people here? Well, they said, well, they come because Pastor Pereira has this very unique gift of healing. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. So they say they come to be prayed for, and, and so they're here all the time. And Pastor Pereira is here all the time praying for people every day of the week. Pastor Corey, aren't you glad you don't have a gift of healing? Your wife would have to bring food to the church every day. It just blows my mind. I'm going to tell you. So we, sure enough, they broke up. Pastor Pereira came out very gently, humbly, greeted me, welcomed me, hugged me. We had a seminar, and then afterwards, I had a chance to just visit with him. And I said, Pastor Pereira, I said, you know, tell me what's going on. I've heard about you, and I know you're studying now. And so I said, I'd like to hear your story. And so he said it kind of happened like this. And we were sitting in a little grass shelter outside the church at that point in time. And as he's telling me this story, a bunch of women and their children are starting to gather. And more are gathering. And I said to him, well, what's going on? He said, well, you know, Pastor, he said, I was just a member in this church. And he says, one day he said, I, you know, I,
I was at church and there was a visitor there, and I thought I should invite him home, so I invited him home to my home. And we were going to my home, and of course in our culture we always have to feed someone when you take them home. So he said, I was thinking, what have I got to feed him? And he said, I realized, you know, I don't have any karil. Well, karil is kind of the meat or the sauce that you prepare with the maize or the part. It's kind of like a stiff porridge that they make with out of the corn meal. And so every, you know, many times they'll have the corn meal, but they won't have anything to have with it. And when you have a guest, you really need to have something with it, whether it's chicken or you know, some kind of a relish. And so he said, I you know, I didn't have, and all I could think of was going home, I don't have any relish. And so we got home, and he said, I said to my wife, you know, can you please prepare some food? And so I was sitting under the tree in the shade with my new friend, and I was just, we were visiting, but he said, all the time I was just saying, what is he going to eat? What are we going to prepare? And I said, God, you know, what am I going to give him to eat, you know? And he says, you'll never believe what happened. All of a sudden, he says, I heard a crash above my head, and this bird fell out of the tree and right into my lap. And it was like a pigeon. And he said, that's never, ever, ever happened to my knowledge. Those things know how to fly. This thing crashed right into the tree and landed in my lap. And he said, all I could say was, thank you, Jesus, we have karil. And he said, we prepared the bird, and our guest had something to eat. But he said, do you know when that happened? And by this time, there's more and more people gathering under the tree just next to us. And I said, Pastor Pereira, are those people, what are those? He says, oh no, they're here to be prayed for. But he says, that's okay, we can talk for a little while. So he said, from that moment on, I became convinced that God hears me. And he said, I was so convinced God heard me that I decided I would pray for people who needed prayer. And he said, then people started to get healed. And he said, then because they got healed, they told other people, and other people then came to get healed. And he says, we've got people coming from kilometers around, and they come here all every day of the week, night and day. He says, I hardly get a chance to sleep. He says, sometimes I have to go 12 hours or 14 hours without eating anything because I'm praying for people all the time. So I said, but Pastor Pereira, I said, are you saying that everyone you pray for gets healed? Oh, no. He says, no, they don't all get healed. He says, sometimes God tells me they're going to die. I said, oh, really? I said, so what do you do then? And now you have to understand, in African culture, we work in the health field. We have, when an African person is going to die, even if you know it in the health system, when I say you know he's going to die, he's got something terminal and he's likely going to die unless God intervenes, you never tell him he's going to die. That's just not done in the culture. So I said to Pastor Pereira, so what do you do? He says, well, I tell them, God says you're going to die, so go home and get your house in order. By that time, I couldn't. I said, Pastor Pereira, we'll talk more. You go and he just left, and he was out there praying for person after person, person after person, person after person. I have to say this. One of the things he told me as well is, he said, Pastor, he said, I am just so thankful for the training program that we have here that you run. He says, because when this happened to me, I couldn't understand what God was doing. And he said, so I decided I needed to know about God more. So I started to study your leadership training program. And he says, I've just finished the book on the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, now I understand what this gift is that God has given me. And more importantly, I understand that it's for His glory and not for mine. And I understand it's not to build my church, but it's to build His church. So he says, when people get healed, they want to stay in my church. And I say, no, you can't stay here. You go home to your church. You go home to your community and you tell people what God has done for you. And I'll tell you guys, that's been such an encouragement to see. Pastor Pereira has since graduated. We got notice of my mom's passing and we had to leave. And we had one of our intensive training times where we train trainers who are intern training. Like I said, now it's close to about 2,000 other leaders. And so our leadership team said to us, you guys go. You go be with your family. We'll take care of things. And one of the people they invited, we had other people already scheduled to take time with the graduates and whatnot. One of the people they invited was Pastor Pereira. And Pastor Pereira came. But I had invited him to speak one other time. And he's not a dynamic speaker. He's not, if you listen to him, he's just a very gentle, calm, quiet, unassuming person. He came this time. And instead of asking him to teach at the seminar, our team just took him to our orphan homes and to our school to just take time to pray for the kids. Well, we had one of the places he went to was our Van Duzy accommodation, where we have an accommodation for the kids who are now finished grade 9 and need to go on through 10, 11, 12 so they can go into post-secondary studies. And one young girl there was in grade 9. Her name's Raquinha, little girl. And she, for the last probably 9 months to a year, has not been able to speak. Could not speak. We had a team of doctors from the U.S., emergency room docs. They had their ultrasound, portable ultrasound with an iPad, if you can believe it, just plugged in, put a little gel, and they were able to inspect her vocal cords, and they said there's absolutely nothing wrong with her vocal cords. We don't know why she can't speak. Could not speak. She could only whisper. So the only thing they could say was tell her she can't whisper because that's the hardest thing on her voice. So Lynn got her a whiteboard, and she was writing her messages on this, and that happened. That just happened just before the training time. And Pastor Pereira went to Van Duzy, and Raquinha was still not able to speak. She was one of the kids that came in with her sister. Pastor Pereira prayed for her. A couple of our missionaries were there. A minute they went out of the study hall where he was praying for kids. A minute later, Raquinha's sister comes running in. She can speak! She can speak! She can speak! And the whole group of students and our mission team were just in tears, thankful to God for His mercy for little Raquinha. Guys, God is at work. He's still at work. And He wants to continue to use all of us. We don't all have the same gifts. I always tell people, I don't pray for people too often because they normally die if I do. Sorry, Corey. I know missionaries are supposed to be those guys, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Well, somehow, that's not something, I think it's more, I have just grown so much as I've gotten older to appreciate and value the fact that we are a body and we need each other. We need each other, and that's why we have to stay together. And that's why we have to build lives that are strong. Now. Because the storm's coming, my brother. It's going to come. I don't care where you feel, how secure you feel, how much money you think you have in the bank. That's not going to cut it for you. What's going to cut it is if you have your faith firmly planted on the rock. And you build into your life the things that Jesus taught us. Forgiveness. Compassion. Mercy. Love. Patience. Faithfulness. Persistence. Joy. Perseverance in the midst of the most harsh and difficult circumstances. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Canada needs people who are founded on the rock. How many of you know that? I don't know where the future of this country is going. I really don't. In fact, it seems like every time I come back, Pastor Corey, I wonder what's going on with our country. It seems to have gone further awry. It's we who hold the fort. It's we who can be that strong foundation when the storms hit. And they will hit. Trust me, they will hit. They may not hit in the ways we think. Maybe something completely different, but they're going to come. Your neighbor's going to have it. And when he has it, and I liked, Lane, I liked what you said. When you said what you told us about, you got to give him a good deal because you're a Christian, right? People see you whether you know it or not. They see what your life is built on, the foundations, the principles, the values that you live by, and they're going to count on that. They're going to count on that. So be that person. Don't just pretend to be that person. Be that person. And allow God to strengthen you by His Spirit. Amen? And allow Him to drop a dove in your lap. Right? Something. And go, wow, God, okay, what is this? Maybe I need to do something with this. Right? So let's pray. And I just want you to know we're besides resources, we need finances. Yes, we need your prayers, but we need people that'll step out. That'll say, okay, I'm going to serve. I'll come serve. We've had people from all kinds, from young girls, teenagers, all the way up to older people coming to do all kinds of different things. Just love and serve people. And it makes a difference. So if God ever puts that on your heart, to whether it's here, whether it's another community, maybe it's just down the road to another church, maybe it's around the world where God wants you to go. Just be open to doing what He wants you to do and to be the person He wants you to be, regardless of where you're doing it or where you're going. May God empower us, okay? So you mind if I just pray and then I'm going to just turn it back? Let's just pray together. I want you just to open your hands. Can you do that? Expect a dove. Expect something to fall into your life. Father, right now we just thank you that you are just so amazing. That, Father, our understandings, we know, Lord, your thoughts are so much higher than ours. Your ways are so much different than ours. Father, we humbly this morning admit that we don't understand a fraction of who you really are. Because if we did, we wouldn't be able to contain it. But Father, right now we invite, we ask, we say, Father, we admit our poverty. We admit our need for you. We admit our limitations. And we say, God, give us what we need to touch the hurting world around us. And give us the courage and the grace and the wisdom, Jesus, to respond in a way that's appropriate so that our world can be made different, so that your kingdom can come, as we've already said, so that your will be done. You said on earth as it is in heaven. That means you had a vision for what you want to do here. Yes, we know we're going to your presence, to our heavenly home, but Father, you still have a plan for your will to be done here. For lives to be changed and transformed here. And so, Father, we pray that while we have this time, while we have this place, you would empower us. And I just give you praise for this church family, and I pray your blessing over them in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that you would empower them and equip them for the ongoing work that you have for them to do here. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you, Dwight. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham, and it says that he didn't look at the situations that he was around, but he believed that God was going to accomplish what he had promised. And so I think it's about time that we found a bunch of people who actually believe God, who actually believe that he hears us. Because wouldn't it be an amazing change in this world if we had to open our doors at the church here 24 hours, 7 days a week? Are you willing? Are you willing to hear God and know that He hears you and do such a thing to change your world? The storms of life will come. But do you have more faith in the storm of life or in the refuge or in the Word? And that's something we all have to face. No matter when the storm hits, we have to stand on that Word. And so, God bless you richly. I pray that you will put money into that box for Dwight and Lynn. And if you are willing and able and wanting to go to Mozambique sometime, talk to me, talk to one of the board members. We can see what we can do.
We need you to come out and help us train.
We can do that. Let's do that. Let's make a plan. Let's make a plan. And we will change our world. We will change our world. So Father, bless your people. Give them strength. Lord, when the storms of life hit, that they will stand on your word, that it will just come to their mind right now with the Spirit saying these words from the Bible that we would stand on. And Lord, help us to know you and your Son and what you are wanting to do in this world. And help us to follow that. And Lord, we pray strong blessings upon Sound Ministries and upon Dwight and Lynn as they stay here for a few months and then go back. We pray for the families, both the Ligors and the Tarkovskis, Lord, that you would just bless them strongly and you would give them health so that they can accomplish what you still have for them to do. And Lord, we just pray that you would just multiply the ministry that they have in Mozambique and in Brazil. And Lord God, may Sam Ministries flourish to the glory of God. And may we flourish in Manning to your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. We'll see you next week at 10:30.
Can I just quickly say before you leave, Earl and Ruth said, please take our love to the people in Manning.
They had planned to make a trip up here, and then I don't remember what went wrong. Something went awry, but they love you, they think about you, and they pray for you often. So they just wanted us to pass that on. I totally forgot. So God bless. Yeah.